You're listening to the Mom Inspired Show, episode 27 with Danielle Tacconi. Welcome to the Mom Inspired Show. I'm your host, Amber Sandberg, and this show is created to inspire, encourage, and add a little extra fun to your day. Hey, you guys, this week is going to be so much fun with Danielle. She is British, married to an American, and lives in South Korea as a military wife and a mom of two young boys. We chat about everything from watermelons in Korea costing 25 bucks. Isn't that crazy? To traveling around the world, working part-time and helping people grow profitable businesses and building their brands, and discussing why it's so important to build a community every time you relocate to a new area. We also talk about why it's important to prepare yourself for a move, even if you're not moving far away, and also having the right mindset. I hope this episode inspires you to step out of your comfort zone and experience new and exotic places. Let's go to the show. Danielle, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Amber.
So I love to start off every show with an icebreaker. I love to travel. And so I love asking people where their favorite destinations are. So what is your favorite vacation spot that you've gone to and why? And this can be with or without kids.
Gosh, that's a tough one because I love to travel too. It's kind of one of my big passions in life, as we'll probably talk about later.
Sure.
But my very favorite has to be my honeymoon. And on my honeymoon, we went to South Africa and Botswana, Zimbabwe and Namibia. So it was really an amazing experience. In 2 weeks, we did safari and we did wine tasting. And it was just such an incredible experience. We stayed in the most beautiful B&Bs and I just love it. I love Africa as a continent. And we had the most fabulous kind of memorable honeymoon anyone could ever ask for.
That's awesome. What year did you go?
Went in 2009.
Okay, so we went in 2007, but for a mission trip, and we went to South Africa and Cape Town, and it was beautiful. And we weren't there, obviously, for a honeymoon. I can't even imagine going there for a honeymoon and doing all that fun stuff. But it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, but what's crazy, you look and there's all the, you know, poverty, but then on the other side, it's like the gorgeous coastline and, you know, it's exactly. So beautiful. And we got to go on a safari as well. And that was really fun because we had a day off that we could do fun stuff. And so what about the other two places besides South Africa that you mentioned that you went to? Botswana? Is that one of them?
We went to Botswana. So we did safari in Botswana, which was just amazing. And we went to two different lodges. So one by the river and then one kind of up in the hills.
Oh yeah.
And it had just elephants everywhere.
Wow.
And it was funny because we in the second one we stayed in these hut type things, but they were beautiful huts. I'm kind of underselling them a little bit.
Yeah.
But they were beautiful huts, but they had monkeys sitting on them every night. And they would just sit on the roofs and they were made out of straw. And one morning I woke up and I had monkey poop on my face because it had gone through the roof.
Oh my gosh.
So that was kind of hilarious.
Well, that's an experience. Yeah.
And then Zimbabwe was incredible because you got to see the Victoria Falls.
Oh yeah.
But again, it was shocking. We couldn't, at the time they'd had a cholera epidemic.
Oh.
So we couldn't even buy a drink there. We had to we literally went to see the falls and then walked across the border again. And it was just so sad to see how beautiful the country had been and just how empty hotels and empty homes because of everything that happened. It was really sad to see.
Wow. Was that scary to go there knowing that?
It was a little scary at the border.
Yeah.
But we really wanted to go. So we hired a guide and kind of set ourselves up for success.
Yeah.
And as safe as we possibly could be.
Got it. Now, I'm gonna do something that I don't normally do. Have you gone on any other trips that are like, you know, fabulous like this? Or is this your big one that you've gone to and that's super exciting?
I'm kind of spoiled. So we're a military family.
Yes,
so we've lived in five different countries. So And I currently live in Asia, so I get to go to some really cool places. And also I used to work a lot internationally. So I've been to India 5 times and traveled all around India, which is one of my favorites. I've traveled all around the US, kind of courtesy of the army.
I'm
from London, so I've traveled all around Europe just because I love traveling. And I, when I graduated from university, I backpacked around Australia. And that's where I actually met my husband, was on a bus backpacking around Australia. So I am, I'm spoiled. I love traveling, and we spend all our disposable income on traveling.
Yes.
Like, that's, everything goes to traveling.
I hear you. I feel like every time I want to, you know, fix up my kitchen, and it's like, do I want to put that money towards changing the cabinets or traveling? And traveling always trumps it. So I totally understand. And so I was going to ask you, so with you living in Korea, which I know you'll go into in a minute.
Yes.
Where has been some great spots that you would highly recommend to people to, you know, go check out in that vicinity? Not necessarily Korea or whatever, but, you know, in that general realm. Is there somewhere that you're like, oh, this really stood out to me and I absolutely love it?
Well, Korea is great. Seoul as a city, I don't live in Seoul, but Seoul is amazing because it's an incredible mesh of new technology and innovation, and then the old culture. So you have the temples and the palace and all those kind of things.
Oh, cool.
So in itself, Seoul is, I love it. Like, Seoul is one of my favorite cities that I've been to. It's just, it never gets boring for me. We go on the train and go up all the time. I love it.
Oh, that's fun.
Of course, like Singapore is a really great place to go. We've recently been to the Philippines, Thailand. I absolutely love Thailand. On my bucket list at the moment is Vietnam. I haven't been to Vietnam and I really want to go to Vietnam.
I've heard it's beautiful.
I've heard so many and I've seen my friends' pictures, and that's definitely on our list. And then my my ultimate dream destination is New Zealand. That's where
I want to
really
go there too.
Want to go.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, I feel like we're halfway here getting, if we were living in the States.
Yes.
So in the next year, in the next year, I'm going to get to Vietnam and I'm going to get to New Zealand.
That's awesome.
I just, every country is so different, and traveling around Asia is so easy, and everything's really clean and simple, and it can get a little bit complex sometimes in terms of language barriers and signs.
Yeah.
That's one of the big issues. Because in Europe, you can make it out no matter what language.
Yes.
But it's in Asia, it's a little bit more difficult. Oh, and the biggest one I forgot is I haven't been to China, but I'm going in May to run the Great Wall of China Marathon.
Oh, wow. That sounds really fun. So you run on like the China Wall? Is that what?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's it's an really ultra marathon. And I'm not an ultra marathoner. I've just decided. I love marathons. I've just decided I want a great story for my grandkids.
That's so cool.
It. I'm just going to do it.
That's awesome. So are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to run it?
I think I'm prepared for a marathon. I don't think I'm prepared for an ultra marathon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good that you're prepared for a marathon.
Stubbornness will get me round. Yeah, it will just get me around. Like, funny. I will get myself around that course, whether I like it or not. It's happening. Yeah. I am finishing.
Yeah.
Whether it's miserable or not, I am finishing that marathon.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. So I'm going to ask you one more question about travel, and then I'm going to move on. People are probably going to be like, okay, we get it. You love travel. So hopefully you guys all want to hear about the travel stuff. But I think too, being an American, you know, Asia just seems kind of, you know, just like a whole nother world, right? So it's an and I don't think people realize how pretty certain areas are. Like, people may not realize that Vietnam is gorgeous. Like, you just don't know it because you only have certain, you know, mindsets about Vietnam. And if you haven't gone, you don't really know what to expect. So I was going to ask you, as an American, you know, I know you're not American, but you are married to an American.
Yes.
And if you were coming from United States, what do you think, what Asian country would you say is probably the easiest and most seamless to travel to? And that would be an easy one for someone to, when they want to venture out and do something more, you know, exotic than what they normally do, like going to the Caribbean or something like that.
So I think any of the big cities are super tourist friendly. If you are looking for Asia light, kind of as we like to call it, you're looking for really Asia light, like Singapore, or Singapore would be a really good one, or Hong Kong or something like that is super Asia light because everyone speaks English and it's incredibly clean.
Okay, yeah.
And you're not going to really have anything too crazy to eat as well.
Oh,
they
yeah.
have it, mm-hmm. but you
don't have to eat it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you get progressively a little bit more challenging. Yeah. So, and even in Korea, if you go to Seoul, everyone speaks English and it's super easy to get around and the signs are dual language. If you go outside of Seoul, then it becomes more challenging.
Okay.
I remember when we moved to where we are, which is we're in the south, the very south of South Korea, nobody spoke English. And I was really shocked because we're moving in a military community. We'd go to restaurants and it literally would be like playing charades. Order food.
Yeah.
And we'd Google plates and try and show them different images. And
yeah.
We ended up in McDonald's way too many times. Just
because you're like, this is easy. We know this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it was, I think that's the big cities is where I would go.
Sure.
And also Thailand. Thailand's like super tourist friendly and loves Americans.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, who doesn't love luxury, gorgeous beaches and massages and fabulous food?
Right. Well, because the cost
amazing.
The cost is cheaper, right? In Thailand,
yes,
like you get more for your money.
Super cheap.
Yeah.
You get a lot more. You can get a massage for like $10.
Wow. Everybody, are you listening? Do you want a massage? Save up your money to go get a cheap massage. Now with Hong Kong and Singapore, what's the, do you know, is it less savings, like money-wise there? Is it more the cost of living in Hong Kong and Singapore?
It's higher. So it's more expensive,
okay.
And I think in the US, there is a, it's cheap. Life is cheaper. When I moved to the US from Europe, I was just shocked about how cheap everything was. I was like, wow, you can have these bigger houses and nicer clothes. And I was in real shock. That was one of the things that it took me a while to get used to. And I lived in the US for, goodness, 8 years before we moved to Asia. So it took me a while to get adjusted. And food, so cheap in comparison as well.
Compared to Europe?
Europe, yeah.
Well, what's interesting is if you ask Americans, especially if you're trying to buy organic food and stuff like that, our groceries are so expensive. And so it's interesting that you feel it's cheap. And so it's just, you know, what you're used to. And so, so would you say, like, how much would milk be in Europe if organic milk was, what is it, like $4 maybe?
Yeah, I don't even know what milk costs. That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really drink milk. I'm just trying to think of like eggs or I'm just thinking like how much more is it in Europe? Like, would you say it's...
So I can tell you my grocery bill went down by about 25% when I moved to the States.
Wow.
Shopping the same quality, same kind of food.
Sure.
And I'm a Trader Joe's addict. Like, I'm obsessed with that place.
I love Trader Joe's, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I would, and it was at the end of my road when we lived in Virginia. And so I would, that's all place I'd go. And I love good quality food. And we did a box service and everything like that. And it was definitely significantly cheaper. And
so
in Asia, it's very expensive. Like, for example, watermelons are $25 for a watermelon.
What?
Here.
In Asia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Korea.
Oh my gosh.
$25.
Wow. That is, That is mind boggling.
Squash. Yeah, a butternut squash was $16 the other day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. I mean, that is mind boggling. I mean,
so we don't eat much of that.
Yeah, I'm thinking the moms that are listening, thinking their grocery budget is like out, you know, getting it's like they're going past their budget every month. I'm thinking, imagine
it's
if you were buying a $25 watermelon.
Exactly, it really is outrageous. So you change your food taste your recipes and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting to know. And I'm thinking we probably need to move into the interview now, but you know, I could just pick your brain about the travel. So I'll have to talk to you another day about all that stuff. Well, you know what, Danielle, let's get into the interview. And so how about you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today? And I know that we kind of touched base, so maybe go a little bit more deeper in that.
Absolutely. So I am a British person. I fell in love with American and we got married, and my husband's a soldier, and we've traveled around the world for nearly 15 years now. And in that time, I've always worked in marketing, and for the past 15 years in marketing, but for 8 years of that I've been very much self-employed and running my own business. And what I do essentially is I help brands and I help people grow profitable businesses that they're really proud of, but also allows them to do what they love. So a number of my clients, they don't necessarily want to work all the time. They maybe want to work just part-time, and that's what I do. So I personally only work 3 or 4 days a week. Because I love to volunteer and I love to pursue other passions that I have, like my running or like yoga. But I also am really passionate about marketing and helping entrepreneurs and helping people grow their brands. So it's kind of finding that balance really is something that really drives me in life.
Yeah. And do you want to share with us how many kids you have and how old they are?
Yeah. So I have 2 children. So they're 5 and 2, 2 little boys. And they are crazy, energetic, and they just make me laugh. Aww. so very much.
Yeah. And like you said, you live in Southern Korea, correct?
Yeah. We live in South Korea. We have been here for 18 months, and as my husband's in the army, and prior to that we've moved 9 times in 14 years across 5 different countries in Wow. 3 continents.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, and
it's madness.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of, you know, leads me into my first question. So, you know, as being a military wife, and my show is all about creating a virtual village for women, especially moms. And I can only imagine how hard it must have been to leave your friends and then have to find a new community to get to know. What would you say you have learned when it comes to building new communities and you know, building new friendships every few years when you move?
That's been really tough, but also probably my very favorite part of military life is the friends and the experiences that I've been able to have. And for me, the biggest learning that I've had is it's important to have a combination of kind of a virtual village, but also an in-person village as well. So both have very different roles for me. So the beauty of social media to be able to keep in touch with friends and family. And I have a number of close friends that I have met throughout my travels or throughout our military career so far. And social media has been amazing, but there is also no comparison to having in-person support. So one of the things that I do is every time we move to a new place, which is normally every 2 years, sometimes the last couple of years we've moved every year though. And I kind of have a rule of you have to say yes to any invite, any social invite for the first month. So, and I have to force myself to get out there. So do play dates and do groups and go hang out. I can't stay in the house. I have to go out every single day, go to a gym class, even if I don't necessarily, you know, I do not like Zumba. I'm sorry to all those Zumba people.
Oh, I love Zumba.
But it was the only class that we had on base. So I went to Zumba and I embarrassed myself. And then I got to meet like awesome people. So you really have to push yourself out of your comfort zone.
Sure.
And that's something I've learned as an online entrepreneur as well, is I've built my kind of network and my village of online entrepreneurs through pushing myself out of my comfort zone and really saying yes to anyone kind of connecting or just even having a 15-minute virtual chat with another entrepreneur. So I think that for me is really, really important, is making sure that you have that nice combination, but always being open to opportunities and never discounting them. I think it can be really easy. I think if I lived in London, if I never moved, if I kind of married someone or decided to have a family with someone that lived in my hometown, I don't think I would have been so open and kind of taken my filter off as well.
Sure.
Because I think often I meet someone, I'm quick to say, yeah, we could be friends, or no, we couldn't be friends. But every time I push myself to have a cup of coffee with them or have lunch with them or something, I've discovered we have some kind of connection or some kind of unlikely relationship, and they've become, you know, some of my best friends in the world. So that's been a big learning for me.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, here in Nashville, a lot of people are transplants. So
yes.
That's why I wanted to ask that question, even though people may not be moving out of the country, you know, just moving into a new community and trying to find, you know, your way. And it was very similar. When I came here, we've been here almost, it'll be 11 years at the end of the year, but mm-hmm. I went to, exercise classes doing cardio, kickboxing and all that stuff. And that's kind of how I started meeting people. And then it just kept growing. And then, you know, we go to church and stuff like that, and that always mm-hmm. helps. And so I agree. And I loved how you said that for the first month, you couldn't say no.
You have to say yes to anything.
Because I think it's so easy to just say no and just be like, oh, I'm just going to stay home. And so I do love that, and that you really do need to push yourself if you do want to find those friends. And so I agree. And I was going to ask you, what have you learned from each move in order to make your life easier during that stressful time? So if people are listening, what have you found that you try to do so that it's as seamless as possible, is what I'm asking.
So some of the things, and I've physically moved house 3 times in the past 18 months as well. So this is very fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
Not intentionally at all. But some of the things I've learned is, one of the biggest things for me is that we don't actually need as much stuff as we physically have.
Yes.
So when we moved to Korea, we had four suitcases, 2 backpacks, and a stroller in car seats.
Wow.
And we didn't have our stuff arrive for 3 months. And we just kind of made do. We bought a few things, like a crock pot, for example, and stuff like that. But I really quickly realized I didn't need very much. And then when all our stuff arrived, it was so overwhelming. And my husband and I almost wanted to pack the stuff up and give it back.
Right. be simple.
Yeah. We were like, we really don't need this stuff.
Yeah.
And, so that was one thing that I'm really cautious of now is when I buy something, I really question, do I need it? Because I don't need this much stuff in my life.
Right.
The other thing is it can just break in the move, and that just makes you sad. So
yeah,
that's one of the things. The other thing is kind of just trying to enjoy the adventure of moving. So even if you're moving an hour away from where you are, just that kind of process of packing up and then going to stay in a hotel or stay with friends or traveling across country or something like that. That can be, some of our best vacations have been road trips from one place to another. So we did this whole kind of constant stream of Virginia, Kansas, Virginia, Kansas, kind of going backwards, forwards across the United States. And we found the most fabulous little places and like great little barbecue shops or these fun little cafes, or just because we took the time to stop off on that journey.
Yeah.
And we would never have seen those kind of places. So it's kind of just trying to enjoy wherever you are, kind of trying to enjoy the experience of moving, or the fact that you get to stay in a hotel and you don't have to cook or clean or do anything like that. Yeah. It can be really challenging having little kids in a hotel room.
Yep.
And, you know, it's kind of tough. And I say that from someone who's spent 2 months living in a hotel with 2 small children. But it's it can also be really nice because you don't have to do any housework.
Oh, so yeah.
You're kind of saving yourself all that time. Exactly.
Yeah.
So and don't get me wrong. I mean, I've had some really bad days during moves. Like, and I've really almost embarrassed myself with losing my mind during moves. So I'm not kind of this 100% positive. But I think it's just trying to make the best out of any situation is really, really important.
Yeah. Now, has there been a place that you really just had a harder time acclimating and feeling like, okay, I'm trying to love this place, but I just don't? And you don't have to name what the place was, but did you ever have that? And what would you recommend for something like that? And to kind of, if you looked back now, is there something that you could have done differently to kind of make it better?
So I'll be very honest and transparent with you. When I moved to Korea, the first 6 months of living in Korea were probably the hardest 6 months I've ever had. And it wasn't moving to Korea that was the issue. So we moved as a family, and I genuinely didn't think that it was going to be a big shift for me. And the reason why is culturally, Korea and the UK are pretty similar. We have very similar education systems, and we have very similar cultural norms. And although the food is different, it's not that far apart. But I really struggled when I got here because I hadn't prepared myself. Every other move, I'd always prepared myself. Okay, this is going to be different, and you need to be really open. And I didn't give myself that grace. I got frustrated with myself for getting frustrated that it was different. And the other thing that I really struggled with was it was the first time I'd moved with two children. So I had my second child, and then when he was 6 months old, we moved. And I really underestimated how hard it was having two children. Mm. I thought it would be, you know, so much easier, because I was like, oh, well, I got it down because I've already had one child. What's the second? And I had no idea of the shift that was going to have for me. And it was so much so that I had a few medical issues, nothing particularly serious. And I just gave up, and I went back to the UK for 4 months with my kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I had to see a doctor in the UK because I've seen doctors in Korea. But I went back and I was just like, I'm done with this. I had to have surgery. And so my family said, come back and we'll look after the kids while you have surgery. And 1 month went by, then 2 months went by. And after 3 months, my husband was like, are you ever going to come?
That's so back? Funny.
And I really had to, and this seems very like dramatic and drastic as a story, but I really had to force myself to go back with a completely different mindset. And we kind of joke now that it was like, make Korea great again plan for me. But it was... I went back with a completely different mindset, and just that my circumstances were exactly the same, but my mindset was completely different. And I made new friends, and I joined new clubs, and I was open to new experiences, and just everything looked a bit brighter and a bit, I really look for the good in everything rather than kind of wallowing in my own self-pity that I didn't have my friends, and I didn't, you know, my business wasn't able to operate the same way that it was before. And that mindset shift was a subtle thing, but completely transformed the last year of my life.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Because like you said, it's like you didn't prepare because you didn't think that you might have needed to prepare. And so pretty much what you're saying is you do need to prepare probably for every move.
Every move.
Even if it's from state to state, I still think there's such a different, you know, there's such cultural differences even within state to state in the United States. And so I was going to ask you, how did your kids adjust to moving? So you had a hard time with having two kids. Was it because they were having a hard time, or was it just you trying to manage two kids?
No, they were, children are amazingly resilient. And the more I see military children, the more I understand, and more, you know, all children are amazingly resilient, but my kind of frame of reference is always military children because we're always in a military community. And one of the things that was amazing, so my 6-month-old, he was fabulous. We have to sit through a number of different, I took my Korean driving test, my written driving test, with my baby in a baby carrier because I didn't have anyone to look after him.
Right.
And I had to sit through this hour theory test in silence. And he was just incredible. Like, he cooperated, aww, which is highly unusual for a 6-month-old baby to be quiet for an hour. But he was just incredible. And my 5-year-old started school, and he goes to school in Korean. So his first few months at school, he didn't understand a single word that was being said. He had no idea. And now, 18 months later, he's speaking Korean and he's doing school in Korean. Wow. And he's writing Hangul. And it's just truly amazing. Those kind of lessons that they teach us is they just adapt. Like, it may be tough, but they just keep on going every single day, and they just adapt to these, to everything.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to ask you, so was it hard for him, mm-hmm, to not understand what was being said for a couple of months? How did he?
It was really tough. And yeah. The first few weeks were really hard. I mean, we had a lot of tears and not wanting to go to school, but we could have not sent him to school and waited, because in Korea they go to school a year early. Mm. But he's very bright, and he was bored, really, really bored. Mm. And we tried to send him to kind of a preschool, an American preschool program, but it just wasn't the right fit for him.
Sure.
But we found a school that we felt was the really great fit. The issue was language. And so we said, okay, we need to stay firm for a couple of months, not to be firm in terms of you must go to school,
right,
but just to give him a chance to adjust. And now he's begging for me not to pick him up from school, because he just absolutely, he's just so happy. So it was the right kind of ratio for him, because I just knew when I went and looked at the school, I looked at 5 different schools, and I just knew this was the perfect one for him. We just had to overcome that language barrier. And he learned to communicate with his friends pretty quickly, kind of learned to either sign or kind of draw things, or just kind of kids are, just find a way.
Yeah.
They're great problem solvers.
Just figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of all the transitioning and stuff, mm-hmm, I know you talked about your business and how it didn't transition as well as you would hope. So do you want to share with us kind of what happened with your business when you moved to Korea?
Absolutely. So my business was really thriving. I was turning away work because I was so busy. And what I do is marketing, essentially, but it's more about kind of helping businesses grow. So some of that is marketing, some of that's kind of business, but it's really about helping businesses and brands grow. And when I got to Korea, I pretty much lost all of my clients, not because they weren't happy with the work that I was doing. It was very much, we had a 14-hour time difference for time zones. It was insane. We were kind of flipped the day around. And that was really, really hard. And I tried to almost become nocturnal, but I couldn't because I had a little baby, and that's just impossible. And I got very tired and very grumpy. So I had to really evaluate who I was working with and really think about, maybe I need to change my focus and keep doing what I do in my business, but maybe focus on a different group of people. And so I moved away from businesses and moved more towards entrepreneurs, and particularly female entrepreneurs. And after some really tough kind of lessons and some struggles and some, pain as well, just kind of really some disappointments, I finally was able to crack where and get clarity for where I wanted to go. But again, that was very much about not preparing for the move, because I had a business model that worked brilliantly in Europe and the US, and I didn't really factor in, if I'm self-employed, I need to really think about how to transition from place to place to place. And that was a really big learning, and I've kind of fixed that issue now, but it's took me a long time to really restructure my business and rebrand it under my own name, which is Danielle Tenkoni, and really, just change everything about how I do business and how I operate.
Yeah. And do you want to kind of expand a little bit on what you do? You help out entrepreneurs with marketing, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I do is I help entrepreneurs formulate a plan, and a plan for their business and also what they're going to do. And why I think a plan is really important is that it really helps you focus. A lot of entrepreneurs, they kind of do all the things all the time, and you're constantly spinning your wheels, and you're getting almost exhausted and work so hard. But where I help entrepreneurs is really focus on the big, impactful marketing activities that are going to help to move their business forward, so that they don't have to spend all their time and their money and their efforts on kind of doing, you know, being on every social media platform or doing, you know, newsletters and emails and print advertising or whatever they're going to be doing. And then they can have a little bit more time, and that might be to pursue another passion or to spend with their family. But I'm not someone who, I don't work 70-hour weeks anymore. I used to before I had children. And then I tried that when I had my first son. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I had a full-time nanny, and I was just exhausted. Yeah. I was, you know, exhausted. And I had many examples where I would travel with my nanny, and I'd be backwards and forwards in hotel rooms. And it just, the quality of life was no good for us.
Right.
So yeah. That's something that's important to me, that I help my clients not only get the businesses that they want, but that in turn gives them the lifestyle that they want as well.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you, since we're almost at the end of the show, for those that struggle with marketing and really putting their business out there, what is something that you would highly recommend them doing to get on the right track? Because I'll now back up, because I feel like it can yeah. be very overwhelming, and you have all these ideas and you have all these, you know, great concepts and all this stuff, and then you end up doing nothing because mm-hmm. you're so overwhelmed.
Exactly. So one of my big kind of things that I do a little bit differently, and the reason why I do this is because of my background. So I've worked on big brands like Axe or Moët Champagne and Visa and a number of different brands. And also I'm classically, you know, I've gone to business school and everything, but this is really, my advice comes from that, but it's practical at the same time. And it's just choose three big goals for your business in 1 year. So companies like Coca-Cola or Pepsi or something like that, they only achieve three big marketing goals in 1 year. And so if you're a small business with limited resources, you're not going to be able to achieve more than three. So really focus on three big goals and do those brilliantly, and then you will be able to grow a thriving business. That's my best advice.
Yeah, no, I love that. And Danielle, as we wrap up, where can people find you on social media and your website?
Absolutely. So super easy, DanielleTenconi.com or at Danielle Tenconi on Facebook or at Danielle Tenconi on Instagram.
And can you spell your last name for everyone?
Absolutely. T-E-N-C-O-N-I. So Tenconi.
Awesome. Danielle, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Amber.
I had so much fun getting to know you. And I just want to let everyone know that it's about midnight in Danielle's time. And so she's doing this call. And you would never guess it just listening to us. You would just think it's, you know, during the day. And so I do want to say thank you so much for, you know, staying up late and just sharing your life with us so that, you know, it kind of expands our world, you know, to know a little bit more. So I do appreciate that.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
And there you have it. Hey, you guys, if you know somebody who would be a great guest, or if you are interested yourself, go to my website, mominspiredshow.com. And at the top, you'll see a contact tab. Go ahead and fill that out. It will shoot me an email. And you can just let me know what the topic is that you want to discuss. Or if you know somebody, you can let me know who that is and what they would want to talk about. I always love hearing from other people and the topics that they want to hear, and also people that they think are very inspiring. So please do that. Shoot me an email through my contact tab on my website. Thanks so much for listening to the show, and I'll see you next week.